is still family.
Okay, it's no secret that married couples argue over money, but something that's happening that is kind of a new trend is more and more couples are trying to avoid those fights by keeping their money separate. And in a survey from last year, PayPal found that 57% of couples were keeping all or at least some of their money apart. That's up 9% from 2008. So Neil Palmer joins us. He's a staff writer for Smart Money, the Wall Street Journal magazine. We also have with us Avril Nunez and Colin Miller, who've lived together for about 4 years, and they're now engaged to be married in 4 months or so. They keep separate bank accounts. So, Neil, this is a new trend of people keeping their money separate?
This is. A recession has really brought out some cracks in the relationships, and experts are seeing more financial three-ways going on. The concept essentially is you've got some money for me, some money for you, and some money for us.
And how do they determine which goes in which pile?
Well, this is the thing that couples really need to talk about. Some want everything split up jointly and then maybe have a little bit left over to play with. Others want a certain percentage, and I believe Colin and Avril both like that idea as well.
The certain percentage. Avril and Colin, you guys have been living together with 4 years, and you've kept separate bank accounts during that time.
Yes.
And now you're going to get married in 4 months, and you've decided to continue.
Yeah, I mean, it's worked perfectly for us. We don't see why we would change it.
How do you make it work?
Basically, we do a percentage, straight percentage. So 40% of our paycheck goes into the mutual, and then 60 goes into our personal bank accounts.
So it doesn't matter. So even more than goes into the joint.
Yes.
Do you do that personally, or does your bank automatically make the separation?
For me, it's direct deposit, so I don't even think about
it.
And Colin's a freelancer, so it's a little bit different for him now.
Yeah, and it actually ends up making a lot of sense for us because I have good months and I have bad months. And so as a result, I'm always putting in 40%, and it tends to kind of even out throughout a year.
Oh, you mean rather than a set amount?
Yes.
Right, exactly.
So what happens when you have kids, Colin?
Well, I mean, I think that once we have kids, we're going to have to probably increase that percentage.
Right.
Yeah. Or maybe reverse it, 60-40, yeah. But we'll probably still do the percentage.
90-10.
90-10, right.
So Neil, I mean, does kids complicate this math?
Very much so, especially when you're looking at things like college tuition bills, textbooks, even just treating your kids. There was one couple in Maryland where the husband likes treating them weekly to ice cream, but yet the wife goes and treats them to a trip to New York. And so you have to make sure you set out these boundaries and say, what's going to be fair? Am I going to be currying favors from the kids more than the other, and make sure you guys are okay with whatever you establish?
Is this only for people who are, say, middle class or above? I mean, what if you're living paycheck to paycheck? Are you still going to be worrying about putting percentages in this account or that account or the other?
It certainly gets more complex if you're living paycheck to paycheck, but it's still a good idea to have a little bit of money left over, and that might just be $50 to $100 in certain situations. But it's good to have that financial independence and a bit of freedom where you can get that control.
So, Avril, give me an example. You put 40% of your paycheck into the mutual account. Mm-hmm. What does that pay for?
It pays for the rent. It pays for, you know, all the utilities. If we go out to dinner and it's just a regular dinner, groceries, all of the kind of the basic needs. And then in our personal accounts, it's, you know, if I want to buy jewelry or if I want to treat him to a nice dinner or buy him something, that's from my personal account.
You ever argued over an expense?
Yes.
Okay. Explain. Let's have a story.
Well, Colin loves photography, obviously, and some of the books are really, really expensive, and he has a lot of them, but that's what he loves.
But I need them for work, Avril.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
They're tax deductible, right, Colin?
Or, you know, it's like a limited edition. There's like a series, and there's only 6 books, and it's like $2,000, and it just seems so much to me.
But this is also one of the reasons why I think this system works so well for us, is because I tend to spend more. I'm a little bit less financially responsible. And as a result, this 40% kind of is a check. And it makes sure that we're going to have everything taken care of. Avril doesn't need to worry that I'm going out and buying a big screen TV or something like that. We have everything taken care of. So we have that stability at the same time.
So wait, really? You never examine what the other person... I mean, as long as it's coming out of that personal account, he could come home with 24 coffee table books and you wouldn't say a word because it's out of his 60%.
There's discussions.
Yeah, I mean, there still is, but it just seems, you know, I still get to get what I like, which is things that he probably thinks are unreasonable. Like, you know, I love shoes and I love accessories. So, I mean, there's a balance. You have to think about, well, that's what he likes and... You know,
Neil, what about a major expense? I mean, when they're getting to put that down payment on a house or anything else, and they don't have that much money in their joint account, where does that come from?
Well, it's interesting you bring this issue up because with the recession, a lot of couples have been finding that one spouse is either having their hours cut at work, they're making less money, they're getting laid off.
There's a different credit rating even.
Exactly. I mean, one husband, he had his own rental properties and they ended up becoming vacant. He had to turn to his wife for the mortgage payments when in the past 10 years, he's been taking care of that himself. So it's certainly shifting the power dynamics and couples do need to talk about the what-if scenarios.
Okay. Well, I would imagine that when the money gets tight, it's not quite so easy to get that 40% into that bank account. Are you guys anticipating, are there certain things, Avril or Colin, that are just, you see them walk through the door with that bag and...
Well, I think it's like cyclical, you know, like he has made more money in the past and I do. I mean, it kind of varies. So the 40% is if you make a dollar, it's still 40 cents. And I just feel like things will, you know,
and I mean, the problem, you know, part of it is, yes, you know, maybe I go out and buy things once in a while. But at the same time, I mean, we're trying to kind of, you know, build towards buying a house, you know, having a down payment, stuff like that. And so we're trying to kind of start a savings account, which will even be separate from the mutual. The mutual is like a checking and then having a savings account in addition to that.
Okay, that is Colin Miller, a photographer, Avril Nunez. They're going to be married in 4 months, keeping separate accounts. Neil Palmer is staff writer for Smart Money, the Wall Street Journal magazine.
So whether you have two incomes in your household or just one income, how are you budgeting for the hard times? How are you talking about the hard choices you have to make? You can tell us your tips or stories at 877-8-MY-TAKE or post it to our website, thetakeaway.org. I'm John Huckabee.
And I'm Celeste Headley. This is The Takeaway.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.